Hallelujah, man! Everybody, it's like I just saw you guys yesterday. Amen. We'll just take a few moments to pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we thank you for being a faithful God. We thank you for the visitation that is in this house. We thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy. And Father, we ask for a special grace in this service, that God, we do not gather in vain. But Father, you are the one who called this gathering. Therefore, we are expecting the agenda of heaven to be fulfilled for your glory and for your glory alone. Our minds are open to receive, to hear what heaven has to say. For it is only that which heaven has to say that we are after. For your glory, we declare that, Father, we will be transformed when we leave this place. For nothing remains unchanged in your presence. In the name that is above any other name, the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we declare that it shall be so. Amen. Somebody just smile for a few seconds. Amen. I'm having a problem with my voice, so you guys have to forgive me just as we go along. I know when I got the call, I was thinking, what am I going to speak on? What am I going to speak on? And the Lord just picked up something that we have been doing, and we did it in Global Force a couple of weeks ago. And the Lord just instructed us to do the same word. So I hope that you will receive the word. I have faith for the word. Because when God gives you a word, you have a responsibility for that word. So I have responsibility for this word. So I'm going to do the best that I can to deliver it. Somebody say amen. And you have to talk to me too to make it more exciting. We are going to jump over. The name of the message is the unveiling of your true value. The unveiling of your true value. And the subtitle is The Day of Showing. The unveiling of your true value. The Day of Showing. I know the women are already looking at me thinking they know what it is. The Day of Showing. And we are going to start off from 1 Samuel chapter number 16. From verse number 6 to verse number 13. It's a very, very familiar passage of scripture. We have done it in Sunday school. Even in our normal day-to-day Bible studies, it says when they arrived, and Samuel has been given instructions by God to go and find a king that he must anoint in the house of Jesse. And you say, the Bible says when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab, but Samuel had asked Jesse, can you bring all your sons? So Jesse said, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Do not consider his appearance and do not consider his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, nor has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, the Lord has not chosen these. So he asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? Then Jesse says, wait a minute. There is still the youngest, Jesse answered. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and had some and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise and anoint him. This is the one. Just tell your neighbor, I am the one. I am the one. Not the movie, but. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. I said it's a very familiar passage of scripture. We often encounter this word in life. The word is value. The word value. By definition, the word value means worth, high quality, It comes from the Anglo-French word vulgaire or valuta for feminine. It's speaking of a value, to be worth something, to be have a monetary value ascribed to you. The dictionary defines it as this way. It's a fair value, a fair return or equivalent in goods or services or money for something exchanged. That's the value. It is all regarded as the monetary worth of something. Value. How much value is in your car? How much value is in your life? It can be regarded as a relative worth or utility or importance, a good value at a price, a numerical quantity that is assigned or is determined by calculation. For example, if you are doing your mathematical equations, you have got variables, and your variables, you're going to, I did math too in school, you know. You can have your variables and you're going to assign values to your variable. If you're doing computer programming, you decide, you define your constant, you assign a value to your constant, you define a variable, you assign. All I'm just saying is x plus y is equal to z, where x is equal to 1 and y is equal to 2, then find out z. Somebody say amen. I did math when I was in school. A value can also be seen as a relative duration of a musical note. It is something intrinsically valuable or desirable. Sometimes value can be regarded as a denomination, like over $20, 20 being the denomination, $5, 5 being the denomination, 100 being the denomination. Some of the synonyms you use for the word value are amount, an appraisal, an assessment, a charge, a cost, equivalent, expense, market price, monetary worth, price, profit, or rate. There are different kinds of value. The different kinds of value. For the sake of this presentation, I'm only going to use three kinds of values. Number one, it's what we call a perceived value. A perceived value has to do with the perception. So you find one object is going to take different values from one individual to another based on their perception. So it's a perceived value. It may not be the actual value of an object or an item, but it is perceived. I perceive this to be worth this much, or I deem this to be worth this much. So it's a perceived value. Because it's a perceived value, it changes. It varies from one individual to another. It varies from one society to another based on their cultures. The value will change. So sometimes the things we call valuable in America are not valuable in Africa. The things we call valuable in Africa, they've got no value in America because of our perceptions. Sometimes whenever you go to the store, you are not really paying for the actual value of a thing. You are paying for the perceived value. For example, I always use this example. I have a Mac in my bag. I have a Windows PC in my office and at home, so I don't have any prejudice. Okay, somebody say amen. But whenever you look at a computer, a Mac, and a Windows PC, they perform exactly the same functions. But when you go to the store, you're going to pay more for a Mac computer than you pay for a Windows PC, because there is a perceived value on a Mac computer than you have on a Windows PC. Perception. The next thing that we have to deal with is what we call an actual value, the real value of a thing. This is the intrinsic value, which is innate within the object itself, its value. No matter what perception you have, that value does not change. It's the real value. Then you have value which is subjective. It changes. Subjective value, we can also call it, as we say, the perceived value. It's subjective value. It changes based on your moods. It changes based on your feeling. Today you love your girlfriend, so she's very valuable. Tomorrow you break up, and the next day her value has diminished significantly because of our perceptions, or because of our situations or our feelings at that moment. Because you have subjective value, you also need to have an objective value. Objective value means it does not change. It does not change. So objective value can also be called a constant value. It does not change. Somebody say amen. It's going to get there. It's going to get there. When you begin to talk about constant value, it requires you now to deal with the elements of time, which means constant value does not change over a period of time. But whenever you talk about value, the value of an asset, the value of an object, it changes over the progression of time, which necessitates us to have a second definition of value, or a different type of value. We call this we call this a depreciated value. Your actual value was, but over a period of time, your value depreciated. So depreciation now is a function of time, because you can only depreciate an asset over a period of time. Somebody say amen. So you may go and buy a $10,000 vehicle. Over a period of time, you're going to depreciate its value. It's going to be worth about $4,000 down the road. But whenever you're having a value which is depreciating, it also necessitates having a value that appreciates, because they are opposites. Some things have no value at the moment, but over a period of time, their value increases. Like somebody comes and joins your team, they don't have any skills at that moment, their value is low. But as they begin to attain different skills and different levels of experience, their value appreciates over time. Okay, it's just still, just a little bit more. So because you are appreciating and depreciating over value, it means we do our things in the framework and reference of time. The four dimensions of man, length, breadth, width, you're also going to have time, the dimensions of the earth. But the interesting thing is that God operates outside of time. If you go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, God began to speak things into existence. After having spoken things into existence, then he names the time. Because God is operating outside of time. So if God is operating outside of time, the value he places on you cannot suffer from depreciation. It cannot suffer from appreciation, because appreciation and depreciation are functions of time. And God is operating what? Outside of time. Somebody say, I'm getting this. But we as human beings now, whenever we are assessing a value of an object, there are certain things we look at. If you're looking at an object, there's a law of supply and demand. The law of the supply, usually the higher the demand, the higher the value. So high demand, low supply, high value. Supply and demand. Sometimes we assess a high value on an object based on its age. A low value or high value based on its age. If you're getting in the workforce, you are in your 20s, you are regarded as highly valuable labor. But when you get into your 65s and 70s, your value depreciates over age. We actually assess a high value based on the rarity of an object. How rare is the object? We have got a Van Gogh. How rare is it? So we assess a high value on it. Sometimes we assess a value based on the condition of the object. My backpack is new, so the value is high. But once a strap is broken, the value goes low, which is the condition. Sometimes it's the aesthetic appeal. How good does it look? How good does it look? So we assess a high value because of how good it looks. That's dealing with objects. But when you begin dealing with men, we also have our own functions of how we define value over a man. The first thing is we usually ask the guy, what do you have? So we assess value on you based on your material possessions. What do you have? What kind of car do you drive? What kind of a house do you live in? And it goes even further to say, what kind of cell phone do you use? They assess a value based on that. And they assess a value based on what you do. Oh, you are just a pastor, so. But you're an IT engineer, chemical engineer. Your value appreciates based on that. Sometimes we assess a high value on people based on what we can get from them. Can they open doors for me? So I esteem them higher, what we can get from them. Sometimes we assess a high value on people based on their genealogy. Where are you coming from? Who is your daddy? Who is your mama? Sometimes we assess a high value on somebody based on their place of upbringing. Where were you born? Where were you raised? If you were raised in the ghetto, sorry, your value kind of goes low. Now, I'm going to reverse this function because I was also born in the ghetto, but, you know. They even asked Jesus, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So they assess value on you based on where you were born, where you were raised up. Sometimes they assess a value on you based on your relationships. Who are you associated with? Who are you married to? Okay. Now, I'm going to skip this one because it's a little bit hard. The people around you, we have said all those things that we have said about assessing your value. The people around you, or the world of the people around you, do not really know how much you are worth. Sometimes we don't even know ourselves how valuable we are. Sometimes you have been discounted, discarded, because they have not assessed a high value on you based on the things we have discussed. So your value is low. David was conceived in iniquity, born in sin. Value was low. The point where when the prophet showed up, Jesse did not want to show the son to the prophet because he was a son conceived in iniquity. You know, when the prophet comes, you hide all your junk. When God shows up, you want to hide all your sins that he doesn't appear. So that was happening to David. So in Jesse's eyes, David's value was insignificant. But at that moment, God was choosing to do something. God was choosing not to appreciate the value of David, but God was choosing to show the world how valuable David is. How much value David has. Born in sin, but valued by God. Okay? Somebody's going to catch that. So sometimes you may come from the wrong neighborhood. And the world says you have no value, but God has assessed a high value on you. But at the moment, your true value does not appear. Why? We'll answer the question before the night is over. Consider this. Jeremiah was called by God, in the presence of God. And God said to Jeremiah, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I called you to be a prophet. So before you were even conceived, I asserted a value on you. You are more valuable than what the world sees. So somebody in this house, this very moment, you have no name. You have no reputation. Your genealogy does not attest to the value that God has set on you. But God is saying there's a high value in you. Just in case you are wondering again, God said in Hebrews, he said, I have sent angels, Hebrews chapter 1 verse number 14, I have sent angels who are ministering spirits to minister unto you the heirs of salvation. So God considers you to be more valuable. That is, he actually sent security agents from the heaven's throne to watch over you, to watch over your destiny, to make sure you get to where you are supposed to be. But at the moment, your value does not appear. Why? Because it's not your season. It's not your time for your value to appear. See, David was on the backside of the mountain watching over sheep. But he was doing some things, communing with God, and God knew the value that David had. So in the sight of his brothers and his father, on that day when Samuel came to anoint David, his value appreciated significantly. But in the sight of God, his value did not change. What was God doing? God has ordained that moment to be the moment when he shows the world how valuable you are. And we are calling that moment the day of your showing. The day when God shows the world how valuable you are. Okay. So there's somebody you are seeing in this moment. They don't look like it, but they are it. It's just not their time. So if I were you, I wouldn't discard them because you cannot see beyond the present time. Where if you could look into the future, you may just be my friend because of where I am going. When my day of showing comes, you're going to see how valuable I am. You are going to be wanting to be my friend. But the things you have already done now are going to discard our relationship because you have discounted my value. So in the sight of God, you are not appreciating, but God is orchestrating things to get you to a point where he says, on this day, I am going to show the world your value. Now understand, we said in the book of Genesis, God was speaking things into existence and then he named time, which means the things that God wants to do have already been done, but they have been put in time. And because we are running parallel to time, God is waiting for that time to come so that when that time comes, what God has said must happen in that time is going to happen. So when you look at time, we often use this analogy that time is like a pregnant woman. Time is pregnant with destiny. Time is pregnant with moments when God is going to reveal who you are. So all you are doing is you are walking towards the appointed day, the day when God is going to say, this is how valuable you are. So some of you may be walking in this moment, you don't know who you are, you haven't been called yet, but they are waiting for you because they, you are the one who has to be unveiled at that moment. They said, we are not going to sit down and eat until David shows up. So in some places, things that are supposed to happen are not going to take place until you show up. Because you are the one whose part is being done for. But sometimes we said, men look at the outward appearance. And God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So he's going to take the unqualified and qualify them. He's going to take the unvaluable and assess a high value on them just to confound the wise. So sometimes people, I always tell people this, if you don't like the way that I dress, fine, just move on. But tomorrow you're going to need me. Because you've assessed a value on how I dress. Sometimes I don't speak proper English because I'm African. I don't pronounce the word things the way they're supposed to be. But the day is going to come when you're going to be looking for this African. Why? Because there's an anointing he's carrying which is required to break some things in your life. Understand again, there are some people that are in this house this very moment. You do not know how gifted they are. You do not know the level of anointing that they are carrying. But God is putting you through a test. Are you going to judge them by an outward appearance or are you going to judge them by the Spirit? The Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. God will use whosoever he desires to use. The Bible even says that God does everything according to the counsel of his own will. So excuse me if you want God to consult you before he gives me a value. You were not there when the worlds were formed. You were not there when God called me. You were not there when God gave me an assignment. You were not there when God said, Perkins, I'm going to call you by name. So some of us in church, we spend our days sitting down, having councils and meetings, trying to assess a value on somebody, yet our eyes are shut. We do not see what God sees. I say to people, even in this day, if Jesus, the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the living Son of God, if he showed up in this day, we would reject him. The Bible says he wasn't even good to look at. He wasn't comely to look at. But we assess a high value on appearance. But greater is he that is inside of me than he that is in the world. So in me there is treasure. In me there is high value. But you just don't see it at the moment because what? It's not my time. Now I was studying this message. I have to do it again. I said, God, why am I doing this? I said, go and tell them that somebody in this room, it's more like time has been pregnant, but the waters have broken. When the waters break, it means something is about to be given birth to. So what God wants to release in your life, God wants to show the people how valuable you are. So God is saying, I've been pushing you to this moment. Everything that has happened in your life has happened specifically to bring you to this moment. And God is saying, now the waters have broken, the baby is about to crown. Your true value is about to show up. But when your true value begins to show up, there are some things I have to let you know. When your true value begins to show up, there are certain people that gather around you. They don't really have an interest in your value, but they want to see what they can get from you. Okay, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper here. So there are some friends that you have that come into your life at significant moments when God is unveiling your value, because all they are doing is they are speculators. They are speculating what your future value is going to be. So they want to make an investment in you now so that they can reap the benefits of what's coming in your future. But they are not there to help you. They are not there to benefit you. They are there to make their own gain. Then the next thing is, when these different kinds of people show up, other people that show up, they've got no clue what's going on. They just show up. Because the Bible says, God, the things you do in private, in secret, God is going to reward you what? In public. So God has to bring together a crowd. There are some people that have got no clue, they just show up and they see the show. The reason is they have to give God glory, because Him? Really? God be the glory. See, they're there. So we said, number one, you've got speculators. They are speculating what your future value is going to be. You have others who are just there because they are just there. But there are some who are there because they have been praying for you, and they are waiting to see what God has done. And when your day of showing comes, they are going to rejoice with you because it's an answer for the prayer that they've been praying. The only problem is the ones when they show up, they don't tell you they've been praying for you. Because the ones that usually tell you they've been praying for you, they haven't been praying for you. All right, okay. So next time you say I've been praying for you, just check yourself, right? So we said now God is operating outside of time. Now, let me give you an analogy. In Exodus 26, because it's going to get better. I intend to preach this for about 20 minutes and I'm done. Exodus 26, verse number 1, number 14, I'll just paraphrase and summarize it. Moses was being given instructions to build the tabernacle. And he was given instructions to put 4 curtains around the tabernacle. So in the inner sanctum, with the inner curtain, it was a fine white linen from God's perspective. A fine white linen, that was prophetically representing righteousness. The next level, curtains of God's hair with a sin offering. The next level, ram skins dyed red, substitution for your sins. The outer covering was a badger skin. The most ugly skin of the 4 was outside. Why? Because what you see right here with your natural eye is the badger skin. It's not good to look at. But if you can see from God's perspective, God is seeing me through the white linen, the righteousness, seeing me through the God skins, seeing me through all the dyed red skins. That's what God is seeing. So what you may consider invaluable in the sight of God, God is seeing from what? From within. And what he sees is somebody of a true value, somebody of substance, somebody of magnitude. Watch. When God comes and speaks to you, he does not speak to you according to where you are. He speaks to you according to where he is. Okay. This is time. And God is outside of time. So God can be speaking here according to our time, but God is speaking according to the end. So God came to Gideon, threshing wheat in the winepress. And he says, "Thou art a man of valor. How can I be a man of valor when I'm threshing wheat in a winepress?" Because God is not calling me according to where you are. He is calling me according to what? To where you are supposed to be, where you are going to be. Because remember, without faith, it is impossible to what? To please God. So because faith is a requirement, God has to give you something to build your faith towards. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of hope, evidence of things not yet seen. Things, evidence of what? Hoped for. Hope means it's something in the future. what you are hoping for, but God will tell you what's in the future so that you can hope for what he has already done. So God can come and say, you are highly anointed. You are highly, God, I don't feel like it. Yeah, you don't feel like it, but I see where you're going to be 10 years from now. Says you are a man of prayer. I don't feel like praying, God. I just cast everybody out, but you are a man of prayer because God is seeing you over the day of your deliverance. God is seeing you over the day of your showing. God is seeing you over the day when your true value is revealed. And then when that happens now, you're going, oh yeah, God was right all along. Yeah, he was, because he told you before the time came. Now, this is going to get, I'm going to preach right here. When I get this point here, I begin to preach. I begin to preach. So we say now, it's not your season. It's not your time. That's why your value was not revealed. Because if you are revealed before your time, people won't really know how to handle you, how to deal with you. Look at a man like Albert Einstein. He was revealed, but the things he showed the world were beyond their time. Somebody said they all agreed that the earth was flat, but somebody said, no, it's round. They wanted to kill him. You see? So sometimes God doesn't reveal your value at that moment, because if he does, you will die before you are required. You will die before you are needed. So all you have to do now is, I may not seem like it at this moment, but just give me time. I may not look like I'm $1 million this very moment, but just give me time. I told somebody years ago, before you know it, go find a post, you're going to find my name there. I may not be anybody at the moment. I may be coming from the ghetto, coming from the good, but God is going to do a work in me. God is going to show you how valuable I am, that whenever they're looking for somebody to come and preach, they're going to call me. When they're going to need somebody to give them an answer, they're going to call me. Why? Because that's what God has put inside of me. But at this moment, you don't need it, so you don't call me. You don't require me to be shown, but when the day I am needed comes, you're going to come looking for me. Yeah. You can say Superman. When he shows up, everybody's happy. Why? Because it is the right moment for him to show up. When he shows up, everybody rejoices. Why? Because Superman is here. So baby, I'm here to tell you that everybody now is going to rejoice when you walk up in the room. Even though they are talking behind your back this very moment, they are saying bad things about you. But when the day comes, when God unveils your value, they are going to be applauding you when you walk in. They are going to be rejoicing at the mention of your name when you walk in. Because why? God is going to show them now that your value, this is who you are. Next thing, how does God reveal your value? God reveals your value in the midst of adversity. When all hell is breaking loose, God is going to reveal your value. Because when the hell begins to break loose, everybody's looking for somebody with an answer. And you are the one who is going to be carrying the answer. And you are the one who is the answer for that moment. So when the problem comes, they're going to be looking for somebody. And ta-da, here I am. I will tell you what to do. And all of a sudden, my value appreciates. But in the sight of God, it's just God taking off the covers so you can see what God has already known. Now, I often tell the young people that sometimes, this is meddling, but I gotta go there because there are young people in here. But sometimes, help me, Holy Ghost. Sometimes the boy you are dating, this, let me not go there. The boy who is asking you out is not all that at the moment. He may not look like all that at the moment. He doesn't dress the way you think he should dress. He doesn't speak the way you think he should speak. He doesn't live where you think he should live. He doesn't drive what you think he should drive. He doesn't have the name that you think he should have. But baby, if you can just see a few years down the road, you're going to see he is the man of your dreams. You're going to see he is the man you've been praying for. You're going to see... Because you are just not seeing the value this very moment, but give it time. Give it time. Listen, when I got married, I told my wife, I'm not bringing any money on the table. Nobody's rich in my family. I've got no inheritance to bring, but all I'm putting on the table are the ambitions I have, the dreams that I have, and where I'm going. And if you can marry that baby, we're going to go somewhere. And we are still going somewhere. Now, because I've said that about the guys are feeling good about themselves. Let me just talk to you guys as well. The girl that you think is not all that is going to be all that a few years down the road. You got to understand, sometimes we speak ill about things and the very men you are... The very man you are speaking ill of, or the very lady you are speaking ill of, is the lady you're going to be going to see in a bank to give you a loan for your house. If you had married him, you would be... I don't even want to go there. But because we are seeing from what? From the perspective of the natural man. We are seeing the natural man. He stammers. Yes, he stammers, but he is going to be the deliverer of the nation of Israel. See, because it's only going to take time. So if I were you, I wouldn't judge somebody. I'd rather just be quiet and wait and see what God is going to do. By the same token, don't just go marry anybody because Pastor Perkins said a true value. I have to balance it. So there is that moment set by God when your true value is going to appear in the midst of what? In the midst of adversity. Now, when adversity comes, some days you are minding your own business, hey, Katie. You are minding your own business. You are doing your own thing, but that day has been chosen by God. So today, the next few hours may just be ordinary moments, but you are walking in ordinary moments towards an extraordinary moment. Your day may be ordinary this very moment, but when God shows up, your day is going to be an extraordinary day. It may just be a quotidian day you are going through, but when God shows up, it's going to be an extraordinary day. Let me just go a little bit deeper. It may just be a regular moment, but before eternity, there's a moment that was set by God, and you have been walking towards that moment, and you have no idea that this very day, that moment is approaching. This very day, that time is saying, I must fulfill what God has said I must fulfill. Now watch. There is a prophetic word spoken by God concerning you. Eesh. You see, when Malachi spoke about the voice speaking in the wilderness, there was a moment of silence. There were no prophets speaking until we get to Matthew. Nobody was speaking. They said God was silent. No, God wasn't silent. God spoke by the prophet Malachi and he kept quiet, but he kept on speaking. A voice coming in the wilderness, a voice crying out in the wilderness, a voice, because he was speaking. So God spoke things about you, and God is still speaking things about you, even though he's quiet. Because a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. So God can speak a thing in his day. It's going to take 1,000 days of our life for us to see what God has said. Okay, now, this is what I want to say. For some of you, somebody laid hands on you and they told you what God is going to do in your life. This moment, you cannot see a way how it's going to happen. But God said it before the words were even formed, that when this moment comes, you are going to be here and you are going to be somebody. And there is nothing that the world can do to stop that moment. There is nothing that they can do. There is nothing. They may try to discourage you, but God sent somebody else to encourage you. They may try to rob you, but God sends somebody else to bless you. Because God is building towards the day when he says, today is the day of your showing. Now, let's go a little bit deeper right here. We gave you Gideon. Now, let's go to this lady now. See, she was crying. We said, God reveals your value in adversity. God reveals your value in the hard moments. In the moments where everybody else is talking about you, that's when God chooses to show them who you are. Just to confound the ones that have been speaking out loud against you. Because Hannah, married to a man who has another wife, the other wife is very fruitful. She has children and Hannah is barren. But there was a moment chosen by God that when she prays this prayer, in this moment, when she prays this prayer, the high priest Eli is going to say, let it be done according to what you have made. The Lord grant you that which you have asked. And at that moment,
At that moment, Hannah's value was revealed, was unveiled. But no, see, when God unveils your value, it may not seem as so. The prophets, the high priest said, may be, whatever you've asked God, may God do it for you. First Samuel chapter number 1. May God do it for you. Yay! Can I give me a son? See? But at that moment, there was no son. But God said yes. Because the day of your showing is coming. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to have a son. So I want to say to this now, there are some people at the... Some people at this moment, you are all valuable and you're all that, the MVP and all that. You can show off all you want. But wait until I get on the scene. They're going to forget about you. They're going to be thinking about me. They're going to be talking about me. I'm not saying this to be vain. Because the other wife, she was speaking things about Hannah. The Bible says, bring a reproach because of her barrenness. But in the second chapter and third chapter, the Bible says that Hannah gave birth to Samuel. Yeah, I'm going somewhere. Samuel, and the Bible says she even got 5 more children. 3 boys and 2 girls. If you're into numbers, 5, grace. If you're into 6, the number of men. But think of it this way. Does anybody know the names of the children of the first wife? Anybody? But we know Samuel. At that moment, Hannah's value was insignificant. But her womb was a sacred womb. Her womb was a chosen womb that she is going to give birth to the greatest prophet. I said the greatest prophet because why? He is the one that anointed kings. If you want to do spiritual genealogy, Samuel was the spiritual father for Saul. Samuel was the spiritual father for David. That's how valuable he is. So some of you now, at this moment, you have no value according to what we see. But according to what God sees, God is saying, I like that. I have already anointed that. I've already appointed that. It's just waiting for a time for it to be revealed. But when the day comes, please don't have a big head. Because one of the things the Bible says, pride cometh before. So when God shows up your value, just go handle your business. Don't try to show off everybody else that now I have appreciated. Yeah, now you want everybody to open doors for you. You want everybody to carry your water, to carry all the stuff. Because now your true value is being unveiled. Just remain humble. But by the same token, usually when you tell people, come down from pride and be humble, they over-exaggerate their humbleness. Well, what am I saying? I'm saying this, that false humility is also pride. Oh, brother, it's the Lord's doing, brother. That kind of humility is also a form of pride. So when God unveils your value, don't have any pride. Now, this is where I preach. I promise you I'm going to preach. Some things happen in your life. I told you all the hell breaks loose. But all the... Can you just stand up, Pastor? Just stand up with me. My sister right there, she's with the water. Come with me. Just stand right here. Now, here's what God does. At this moment, it's a geographical location that God has said in time and space, this moment, your value is going to be unveiled. So as long as you are still there, your value will not be unveiled. But God has to move you from this point here until you get to this point here. Over time, now you're in a geographical space, then God unveils your value. Thank you, guys. You saw that. I'm going to give you an example. We know that David has been anointed to be king among his brothers. His father sends him to go and watch what is if his brothers are okay to come and give him a report. So David, it's not going to appear that you are going to be the one who has slain Goliath as long as you are still in your father's house. So Jesse, by Jesse sending you, he is sending you into a geographical place in a space of time where God is going to show up and tell you how valuable you are. So what am I saying? Sometimes you are being sent to do some things in certain places and you don't want to go there, but God is orchestrating that you get there, because when you get there, what's going to happen is going to astound you. I know some of you are going to go on a missions trip. The devil has been fighting you tooth and nail so that you don't get there, but God wants to get you there, because when you get into Brazil at that moment, at that time, your gift is going to kick in, your anointing is going to rise up, and you're going to know who you are in God, and you're going to know how valuable you are in God. So it is expedient now, it is important, it is significant for you that you do all that you must do to get to where God wants you to go. Now let me go a little bit deeper here. Sometimes for you to get there, you are not going to have a nice time for you to get there. Because Joseph, as long as you are still in your father's house is too small for your gift. So I cannot show the whole world who you are as long as you are still in your father's house. So I have to put you into Egypt for your true value to be unveiled. But for me to get you there, you are going to be put in a pit. They're going to lie that you have been killed. They're going to put your clothes covered in blood. They're going to take you out. They're going to sell you into slavery. You're going to work as a slave in somebody's house. God will elevate you, but you're going to be accused, thrown into prison. But in prison, your gift is going to kick in. And when your gift kicks in, God's going to come and take you out of the prison. And you're going to find yourself standing before Pharaoh, being called the Prince of Egypt. Why? No, Prince of Egypt is Moses. Joseph. Joseph, only one who is second to Pharaoh. He says, you are only second to me in name, but you are literally the one who's running the nation. So he took all the hell, being in prison, being accused, being chained, being dragged up, for God to get you to a place that he said, in this place is where your value is going to be shown. So we often say, all things work together for the good, for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. We only say that when we see the good, but it's hell when you're going through the process. But just tell somebody, you have to get through the process to get to where God wants you to go. Now, when I'm dealing with married people, I tell them this. Some of you now, you are all high and mighty. You are now a chief intercessor, and you are all that. But it's because of that husband you despise that God used to get you into a place where your gift kicks in. He wasn't staying at home. He was out drinking every night. He was out with the hoochie mamas every day, because you had to pray. And you begin to pray, you begin to intercede, and God unveiled your value. Now you are standing here as the chief intercessor. Why? Because God walked you through a process to mine and activate and unveil your gifts. So don't worry about the things you are going through. Just go through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I will fear no evil. Just go through. You may put me through death. You will not kill me, for I am already dead. I am dead in Christ. So just put me through, God. Put me through the fire. Put me through whatever you must. Put me through the lion's den, oh God, if that's what it's going to take for me to get to where I should go. So now, all that you've been going through makes sense. Because God is leading you to a moment. And when that moment comes, I often tell people once again, when you go into a birthing room, it's not pretty. There's no makeup. There's no all the stuff. Just give me the pain medicine. Just give me. Get out of here. Get out. That's what they'll be screaming, squeezing your hands. Oh, here, everywhere else. But when that baby comes, the pain is forgotten. When that baby comes, all the heartache is gone. At that moment, the true value of what you have been carrying has come out to the open. So what am I saying? Baby, you have been in a birthing season. The labor pains are kicking in. The Bible says, creation is mourning and groaning for the manifestation of sons, of the true sons of God. We are going through birth pains because God is trying to birth us at the next point where He is going to unveil our value. But for us to get there, we cannot get there in our own strength, lest we get the glory when we get there. So God's going to take you through a process. When you get there, you will know that it was only by God, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit that God brought me to this moment. And you have to rejoice at that moment because you can see the wisdom of God for taking you through all that He brought you through to that moment. Now, when your value shows up, I say, don't get a big head. Don't get a big head. Because when you get a big head, certain things are going to happen. Certain things are going to happen. Because God is going to use people to take you there. I'm almost done. God is going to use people to take you there. But when you're getting there, excuse me if I don't call you as often as I used to. I will explain that. Excuse me if I don't call you for prayer anymore as I used to. Because you have served your purpose. You have fulfilled your assignment. Understand that when a rocket is going to the stratosphere, when a rocket is going to the heavens, being shot up, at the beginning it's going to need some booster rockets for it to get to where it's supposed to be. But when it reaches a certain altitude, those things must be let go, otherwise there will be dead weight where we are going. So some of your friends have just been booster rockets. Some of your friends have just been an extra fuel tank you needed for you to break the barrier that has been set over you. But when that barrier is broken, they must fall off. Now you know that when your friends stop calling you, you know that your day of unveiling is already approaching. When they start stop hanging around you, you just know that God is cutting them off. They're just booster rockets. I don't need them because God is taking me somewhere. When you will get to that level now, when you break the stratosphere, there are going to be a new fueling system required for you to be able to get the next trajectory. So now certain things are going to be begin kicking in that were redundant at the lower level because they were not useful at that level. But when you get the new level, they're going to begin kicking in. So new friends are going to show up at the day of your showing. They're going to show up at the day of your unveiling because you need them where you are going now. You didn't need them yesterday, but where you are going now, you need them. So God sends them. Go and ask David. David, before you get to the throne, I'm going to send you some new people. Broken. I love what God does. He does not send you people that have already gotten made. He's not going to send you people that already know what to do. He's going to send you the rejects. Because He is God. Because their value is attached to your anointing. So when you get into the fullness of who you are, who they are is going to show up. But it's nice to talk about somebody else because it's you now who's causing everybody else to show up, right? You are anointed, you are gifted, you are the king. When you show up, you pull everybody else. But there's somebody who's there who's pulling you, who's going to cause your gift to kick in so your true value can be unveiled. So new friends. So don't cry over the ones you are losing because you don't need them. They used to call you to go to the club with them. That was fine because you wanted to have fun. But where you are going now, you don't need them. Because now it's going to take somebody who knows how to war in the heavens to take you to where God wants to take you. Why? Because David, I'm going to surround you with these rejects, but inside of them, there is something I placed before the worlds were even formed. To the point where now, generations to come, they don't call them broke men. They don't call them men of ill reputation. They call them the mighty men of David. So you have a purpose. You are not just coming to church for the sake of coming to church. You came here tonight. Yeah, it's Friday night. We're going to go into what we do. You came here because God was orchestrating things for you to get here, to hear this word, to let you know that something is about to kick in inside of you. And when that kicks in, baby, oh, you're going to thank God for bringing you to this service when you didn't want to come. Seriously, I might be old, but I'm still young. I never wanted to go to church. I said, I've never been in church. I don't want to preach. I don't want to be in. And I'm like, God, you're just so funny. Here I am doing all the things that I don't want to do. But there are some people in your life. I'm going to close by this. There are some people in your life. That's the second closing for Christian Tabernacle. There are some people in your life that are pestering you. Mm-hmm. They bother you. You don't want to go to church. They call you. Let's go to church. You don't want to go for that prayer meeting. They keep on calling you. I'm going to come pick you up. Let's go. I don't want to go. I'm busy. But they are being used by God to bring you into a moment of destiny. Can I just ask you something? Before you came to this church, you were somewhere. What brought you here? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Why didn't I go join the church down the street? But I came here. Why? Remember I told you, there is a season, a place, and a time that God has said, in this place, if you get here and in this time, I am going to unveil your true value. So you were wondering why you didn't fit in the church you went to last time? Yeah, you were not supposed to be there. You were not supposed to be there. You were supposed to be here. I know they've got good programs down the street, but you're supposed to be here. Now, I always say that when I do something, I was told you have to cut some things off, but you have to build people before you leave. So, this is what I'm going to do. If in the next 4 weeks, you lose a friend, not die, but they cut you off, just thank God. Because they cannot go with you where you're supposed to be going. They've actually been hindering you. So they must be cut off. Next thing. You are going to receive some invitations to join some groups in this church that you don't really, really want to join. Okay. Let me clarify. Because I see your faces, you're going to go crazy. They're going to send you an invitation to come for the prayer meeting. I've never been to a prayer meeting. In the next 4 weeks, it's coming. Don't refuse the invitation. Just show up. Just show up. The worst thing is to miss a moment ordained by God for you. It's going to take you a whole lifetime to get back that moment. So when the invitation comes, just come for the prayer meeting. Can I just tell you something about prayer? Because I love prayer. I just tell them about prayer. You don't even have to know how to pray for you to go join a prayer meeting. Are we all together? Can we all stand? You don't even have to know how to pray for you to join a prayer meeting. Just show up. They will teach you. Can we all just come to the front? I know you guys want to see the hide at the back. Just come to the front. Let's all come to the front. I know you want to hide at the back. Huh? Before I hand it over, we're going to do something small here.
Don't be shy. I'm just Perkins. We're good. Come, guys. You guys, she's right there. Right? Just come. So I'm looking at my time here. I'm thinking I'm a global force. Come. Now, just hold your neighbor's hand. Just hold your neighbor's hand. And I want you to look at them real good. Wherever you can, left or right, just look at them real good. Look at them real good. Just really look at them real good. Just look at them real good. Look at them real good. Just look at them real good. Because tomorrow you're going to forget this image you have just seen. Because it's going to be history. Because God is going to reveal their value. So it's better for you to know them right now the way that they are before the real them shows up. If I were you, I'll take them for lunch tomorrow. Because in a couple of weeks, you won't be able to get a hold of them because you have to call their secretary. You have to make an appointment to see them after a couple of weeks. Because when their true value shows up, there's going to be a premium on their time. So just look at them real good. You may be holding the hand of the next great, great prophet, the next great apostle. You're holding their hands. They don't seem like it at the moment. But it's just not their time. It's just not their time. Now we're going to do something. I do this in Global Force. So we're young adults here, right? So we're going to do whatever we do. I want you to find a partner. Not a husband or wife. But I want you to find somebody you didn't come to church with tonight. Okay? You're going to hold hands with them. Somebody you didn't come to church with tonight. Just find somebody. You didn't come to church with tonight. Preferably somebody who's not your friend, who you don't really know that well. Just find them. Because we're going to pray. Then I'll give it to you, sir. Now, you have to hold hands, look at each other like that. Like that. Like that. And when I usually have perfect pairs wherever I go, but it'll work. Okay? I got somebody here who's, there are three right there, right there. There are three right there, three right there, three right there. So now what you're going to do is you have to ask them their name because I'm presuming you do not know them. You have to ask them their name. Now you know their name, right? So when you pray this prayer, you cannot say, bless my sister or bless my brother. You have to mention the name. So make sure you ask them, you speak the real name when you're blessing. Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to speak a blessing over them. And when you speak a blessing over them, it's not sufficient to say, I bless you. Remember, this is a valuable person that you're holding hands with. And their anointing and their gifting is tied to your elevation. So for you to get to where you are supposed to be, they must be where they're supposed to be. So your prayer now is going to push them to their day of showing before yours comes, because they have to be shown up first before the mighty men of David show up on the scene. So you're going to bless them. So it's not enough to say, I bless you. No. You bless me with what? I bless you with long life. I bless you with joy. I bless you with peace. I bless you with prosperity. May the works of your hands prosper. Whatever you set your mind to do, may it succeed. Every scripture you know about saying good, you're going to say it. Now, my wife taught me this very well, and now I know it. She says we are Pentecostal people. We are of the Pentecostal persuasion. That means, I know you're all Baptist, but you're Baptist-costal or whatever it is, because you're all of us. When we pray, we all pray. There's no praying in your heart. You have to pray with your lips. So just take a few moments to pray. Speak a blessing over them. Pray. Pray. You have to open up. You can do better. You can do better because you want to see them blessed. Father, we speak long life. We speak joy. We speak prosperity over them, O God. May the works of their hands prosper. Whatsoever they set out to do, O God, may it come to pass for your glory and for your glory alone. We declare that the heavens are open over their lives, O God. We declare that the windows of heaven are open, that blessings are flowing, O God, that their gift is being activated in this season, that God, you have been bringing them the moment of their showing. You have been orchestrating things to bring them to this moment. God, everything that you have done in their lives, O God, has been building towards this moment. And as you have been building, O God, let it be done according to that which you ordained before the worlds were even formed. Father, these hands, we declare that miracles, signs, and wonders are going to take place through these hands. We declare that, God, every gift inside of them that hasn't been activated yet, oh God, is going to come to activation for your glory and for your glory alone. Father, we command witty inventions, business ideas, oh God, to be loosed unto them in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for a blessed imagination to be able to imagine the things that God has said must be given birth to in the heavens, in the earth, oh God, for your glory and for your glory alone. I pray for their relationships, oh God. May they prosper. May they prosper. Whatsoever, God, you must cut off from their lives, oh God, for them to get the next level, let it be done according to your word in the name of Jesus. God, I declare and I decree, coming into agreement with the heavens, that, God, there is greatness inside of them. That, God, there is true value inside of them, oh God. And they will not miss the moment you ordained for them, oh God, to be received, oh God, into the unveiling of that which you called them to be, oh God, for your glory and for your glory alone, oh God. I declare that they are anointed. I declare that they are gifted. I declare that, God, no weapon forged against them, oh God, shall prosper. I declare that, God, every limitation imposed on them by the kingdom of darkness is being broken. I declare no limits, no boundaries in their lives, oh God. I declare that generational curses have been broken over them, oh God, for your glory and for your glory alone. I declare that perfect peace abides in their hearts, oh God. That perfect peace, oh God, dwells in their homes in the name of Jesus. And God, everything that the blood is speaking concerning them, that the blood of the new covenant is speaking concerning them, I declare that, God, it is going to be so. It is going to be so, God, according to your word in their lives, oh God. I know you can pray. I know you can pray. You can pray. You can pray. You can pray. Oh, kerabasiki anda brosete, rabasete ni brosotai, rikataya losete biki andosa, mareti borosiki andawas, rebasita yakete di sabaya tedesi, rabaya kindi isti abakatai, rebosete biki andaya brosete, rabasete. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We bless you, oh God, for this moment, divinely orchestrated by the heavens, oh God, that we will be here to hear what you have to say, oh God, building up our faith, knowing that there is a day appointed by God for those things to come to pass for your glory and for your glory alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now one more thing, and we are officially done. On my part, that is. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If what I've spoken has stirred up something in you, and you sense that you are the precipitous of the day of your unveiling, and you want me to pray for you, I want you just to come. Just come stand right here. And if you feel that this word is spoken to you, and you just know that God has been bringing you to this moment, and He has affirmed things in you that you sense that you were at the moment of something. That you just know that it's time. That it's time. That it's time. But it's time. But it's time. That means you are going to be prepared to go through what you must go through as the time approaches. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them through all of them. God will. So it doesn't matter what's going to come against you in the next coming days. It doesn't matter. You will not miss your moment. You will not miss your moment. Pastor, you're going to come help me? Yeah, you're going to come help me? Come help me, yeah. Oh, so if you can just lift up your hands. Just lift up your hands. Chief, in some anointing oil. Some oil. Anybody with some oil? Some anointing oil. Just give me some oil. So I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray a prayer of covering over you. That whatever comes against you, it will not penetrate the fortress around you. That when the moment comes, you will remember this service. That the word was spoken concerning the day of your showing. And when it comes, here's what you're going to do. The day it comes, I want you to take an offering. Your own offering. When the day comes, you're going to come to church. You're going to get an envelope. Okay? When you know that this is up, I didn't even know that this was inside of me, but now it's up here. You're going to take up an offering. Thank you, sir. You're going to take up an offering. You're going to get an offering. Put an offering in an envelope. You're going to get an envelope. You're going to write on the envelope, the day of my showing is here. You hear me? The day of my showing is here. You're going to take up that offering. You're going to come and pray at your pastor's feet. Pastor Khan, you're going to give him that offering. That offering is not going to go to the church. It's going to go to him. So I'm not taking up an offering for me. When that day comes, take up an offering. Your own offering. When the angel appeared to Gideon and told him who he was, when he finally embraced who he was, he gave a sacrifice, an offering to the heavens. Where the place was now called the God who answers by fire, because the fire came down and consumed the sacrifice. And that moment, the news delivered by the angel were accepted. Jacob was running for his life. Then he laid his head down. That was the day of his value being unveiled. He says, lo and behold, this is the gateway to heaven. Angels are ascending and descending. And he built an altar at that place. Many places where God unveiled somebody's value, they gave a sacrifice, they built an altar. This is between you and God. I'm not going to give you an amount or what you're going to give. It's between you and God. But I've just given you the instructions. You're going to get an envelope, write the day of my showing, and that offering, you're going to give it to your pastor. And you can just tell him, well, Pastor Perkins said this has to go to you. And he's going to use it for whatever he wants to use it. Somebody say amen. He's going to use it for whatever he wants to use it. It's his. All you're doing is you are affirming, because I'm not here. He is going to be here. He is the one who has been ministering to you to bring you to that day. So you're going to be all honoring him for everything that he has done to push you to that day. He preached a word that cut you off, that you were mad, you were angry that day when he preached it. But now when you get there, you're going to appreciate that word. You're going to appreciate him telling you you are slacking off that day, because you were building towards the day of your showing. So you're going to thank him for everything that he has done, how he has poured himself into you to get to the day of your unveiling. All agreed? You are in the house of God and you are nodding your heads, which means now you cannot lie before God. Somebody say amen again. Pastor, yeah, why don't you just anoint them with oil? It doesn't matter. Let me show you what happened. I met this guy. I walked into Christian Tabernacle in 2003. That's when I joined the staff on Christian Tabernacle in 2003. I walked in and he saw me. I'm just a computer guy, computer engineer, that's all I am. I remember I was walking in Bishop Head's office. I told him, Bishop, I don't want to do anything in this church. I can clean the church. I will be in every service. I don't want a title. I don't want a name. I don't preach. I don't do anything. When I met this guy, I told him my name is Perkins. And from that day, he started calling me Pastor Perkins. From that day. Like, I've never preached a sermon. I've never spoken to anybody. 2006, I was standing. I was actually standing in like a place like that. And that day I was being ordained to be a pastor. But somebody spoke it 3 years beforehand. So you never know what God has. Don't deny it. I did. And whatever you deny, you become. So I was there. And the man who spoke it was sitting right there. I used to call him Pastor James, Pastor James. And he used to call me Pastor Perkins every day, Pastor Perkins every day. And it came. Now I'm scared because he calls me Bishop. I'm scared. See? But that's what God does. Gideon, mighty man of valor. But I'm still here. No, God is calling me to where you're supposed to be. So you never know. So just do what you got to do. You will see what God is going to do. So you're going to anoint him with oil and then we're going to pray. Sister Julianne, I know you're sitting there. You're going to come help me too. There's a reason why I do that. Now, let me tell you what I do. What I've understood is that in every house, there's a river of anointing that is in every house. And when we come, there's differing ministers. We come in, different ministers. We come in. All we're doing is we're just bringing our little stream into the anointing, into the river of the house. So we just pour a little. But for my anointing to be accepted in this house, I need to hook up with the anointing in this house. That's how you guys are going to help me, because this word has been deposited in here. So that's why I'm asking you to help me pray for the people, because of the anointing in this house. I'm just a visitor, just pouring my little stream in here, but the river is in this house. So just anoint them, my friend, just put some oil on their heads, and we're going to pray. I know it's uncomfortable, I know. No. Just lift up your hands, guys, because he's going to anoint you with oil. So anoint you with oil. Father, we have come this moment. Our hearts are quiet. Our hearts are still. You have longed to bring us this moment. Now we are here. We are asking, O God, for that which you ordained before the worlds were even formed. Begin materializing now. That the moment has come for that which you set before the worlds were formed. Let me show you. Just don't be scared. It's just oil. Don't be scared. It's just oil. You can just put oil in their hands. So you're going to walk with a bottle. Just put some oil in their hands. They can wash it off when they get home. It's okay. Jesus, we thank you. We bless 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 you for everything, oh God. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you, oh God. We are marking them. The Bible says there's an angel in the book of Ezekiel who is marking the man with the ink on, was walking around, marking those that are his, that are his, setting for destiny and purpose, chosen by God to be unveiled, to have their true value revealed. That these are precious in the sight of God, gifted, anointed, chosen by God, that they may not appear to be so at this moment, but they were chosen, set by God, to be carriers of great and mighty things that God has said are going to take place in their lives. Kingdom builders, chosen, ordained before the worlds were even formed. The Bible says that in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah was speaking. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He has chosen me. And he says, now I came to minister those that are brokenhearted, those that are wounded. And those that are broken are the ones that are wounded. The ones that need to be healed are the ones who are going to build the kingdom. They're the ones who are going to do great things for the kingdom of God. Let's lift up your hands. Father, I pray now for the anointing to rest upon their lives. I pray now, God, for your glory to fall upon their lives, oh God. For it is by your hand you are going to reveal the things that must be revealed in the season of their lives, oh God. I pray that when their true value comes, that God, you're going to show them who they really are. You're going to show them the greatness that is inside of them, oh God, that which you ordained before the worlds were even formed, but which you set before eternity was even there. That God, you are going to reveal it for your glory and for your glory alone. I pray, God, for the divine orchestration of assignments and appointments, that God, they will not miss every door that you're opening. That God, as you are ushering them into the place where they should go, you are going to bring them into greatness, God, for your glory and for your glory alone. I declare and I decree that, God, greatness is inside. Greatness is inside. Greatness is inside. Greatness is inside. Greatness. Greatness. Greatness is inside.